மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத்க்ருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். யம் ப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஹ ஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹி வேதை சாங்க பதக்ரமோபநிஷதை காயந்தி யம் சமகாஹ த்யானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்ஸுரா சுரகணா தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நம. மோக்ஷ சந்நியாச யோகோ நாம அஷ்டாதசோத்யாயஹ. We have seen 65 verses and where Bhagavan beautifully presented in a nutshell the discipline of Karma Yoga. Of course, the two important disciplines, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, are repeatedly, elaborately, from different angles, discussed in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. And 18th chapter happens to be the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavan only discusses the same old, those two disciplines again, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So we do know very well Karma Yoga is the only means of having mental refinement. So recently I heard Ajay was telling, you know, how it is the kartrutvam. Resolving the kartrutvam is not an easy joke. Even though we understand, kartrutvam has been resolved. How? No, this essence must be shifted cognitively, intellectually, from the body, mind, sense complex to the subtlest, abstract, formless consciousness. The grossest body and the subtle material aspects to consciousness principle. And it is not physical job, it is a cognitive process. And naturally, kartrutvam will resolve. But that is the most difficult thing. That is why we understand the teaching, but really to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, it takes very long. Repeated listening is important to see the fact. It's not mechanically listening. Of course, it is listening with understanding where in every class, that's why I don't like to break the class. Class should not be broken because class must be very regular and continuous. That is, continuous regular listening alone will help you to be in the same teaching again, again, again. It works. You know, it is called Kita Bringa Nyaya. There's one Nyaya called Kita Bringa Nyaya. Bringaha means bee. And Kitaha means worm. What does it mean? It seems in the trees, the holes will be there. In the holes, inside, there'll be, you know, in the holes, the bees go and lay eggs. And what happens? After some time, breaking open the eggs, the worms will come out, larva stage, they come out. And when they come out, they may fall down and die. So, what does the bee do? The bee sitting, blocking that hole in the tree, it will sting so that the worm doesn't come out and fall and die. The bee wants to protect its own offspring from of larva, that worm. So how long it stings? The bee sitting near the hole, blocking the hole. It keeps on stinging so that the worm doesn't come out, it goes back. Its own eggs, the worms come. And so the worms remain inside. The worm comes out, again it will go inside. Because it keeps on stinging. Then what happens? How long does it the bee do that? How long does it do? The bringaha, how long does it do? Until the worm grows and becomes a full-fledged bee. The larva, the stage goes, becomes a complete full-fledged insect, the bee. But it develops its wings, then comes out, then the bee lives. It goes. So it was inside, it goes inside as a worm, comes out as a free bird, free with its wings. Not a bird, I mean, with its wings, it flies out as a free insect. Like that, repeated listening, repeat how the bird, the bringer, the bee repeatedly sting, and it makes the worm grow and makes it with the wing, comes out. Similarly, repeated listening will help us from converting ourselves from being a worm into a full-fledged grown a bee with the wings. Repeated listening is important. Therefore, here also, the Karma Yoga, Bhagavan, this chapter happens to be the concluding chapter. Bhagavan repeats Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. We saw until this 65th verse, Bhagavan discussed the topic of Karma Yoga. It's a beautiful verse we saw. Let me read it once. 65th verse. Manmana bhava mat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Me priyahasi, you are very dear to me. I promise, Satyam, definitely true, you will reach me alone. There's no doubt, whoever chooses to live a life of Karma Yoga with a total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam, total commitment to Bhagavan, there's no doubt a Karma Yogi in due course of time will become mentally, adequately pure and steady, and he will have all Bhagavan's grace to go through successfully the discipline of Jnana Yoga. He or she will definitely attain Jnanam. A Karma Yogi will be able to go through the discipline of Jnana Yoga. He will attain Jnanam. He will be able to enjoy the benefit of Jnanam. Karma Yogi will have a contemplative mental disposition. He can dwell upon the teaching. He can assimilate the teaching. He'll enjoy the benefit of the teaching. And enjoying the benefit of the teaching means what? Seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan. Seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan is what? Attaining Bhagavan. Reaching Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says, Mameva Yeshasi Arjuna, you will definitely reach me. I promise you, you are very dear to me. But what you should do? Just live a life of Karma Yoga. How does he say that? Manmanaha bhava, madbhaktaha bhava, madhyaji bhava, mam namaskuru. All this manmanaha bhava, madbhaktaha bhava, madhyaji bhava, mam namaskuru means what? May you live a life of Karma Yoga. Having said that, I'm not going to explain on the verse, already I explained. The 66th verse onwards, Bhagavan begins his discussion on the next discipline, another discipline, Jnana Yoga. Because we all know well, these Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, between these two disciplines, there's no third discipline, there are only two disciplines. And two lifestyles are prescribed, two disciplines are prescribed. And there's no, at least between two lifestyles, choice is there. one does not need to become a sannyasi. One can be a grihastha, one can continue to be a grihastha, still one can go through sannyasa mentally, one can attain jnanam. One does not need to become a sannyasi. There's a choice. But between these two disciplines, karma yoga and jnana yoga, there's no choice. Both disciplines have to be sequentially followed, one after the other. One must go through karma yoga, thereby one can become adequately prepared, adequately refined. As a result of which one can successfully go through the jnana yoga. One can attain jnanam, which itself is this attainment of moksha. Therefore, Bhagavan discusses the discipline of jnana yoga from the 66th verse. And it is a very important verse. As I told you, Shankaracharya has done so many pages of commentary on this. And this is the verse given by all Vishishtadvaita Acharyas to the disciples to chant every day. But what does Bhagavan say here? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tva sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tva sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha. Mashuchaha, may you not grieve. Arjuna, may you not worry. May you not grieve. Come on, don't grieve, don't worry. Why? Aham mokshayishyami. I shall liberate you. Aham tva mokshayishyami. I shall liberate you from what? Sarva papebhyaha. From all forms of sins, I shall liberate you. Sarva papebhyaha means what? From all punya papams. Punyam also is considered to be papam because punyam also binds. To exhaust the papam, one has to be born. No way of escaping. Whatever papam one has accumulated, by doing wrong actions, by going against dharma, one accumulates papam. And to exhaust the papam, one has to be born, no choice. And what about punyam? Even if a person does all righteous actions, good karmas, if a person has accumulated a papam, punyam, even to exhaust the punyam also one has to be born. Therefore, punyam also is binding. Because punyam will not liberate a person. Punyam can only contribute for mental preparation. But punyam will not liberate a person. But unless and until a person attains jnanam, there's no way of freeing oneself from bondage. Therefore, not only sins, not only papams, even punyams also are said to be papams because they are binding. They also bind the person. Therefore, Bhagavan says, sarva papebhyaha, from all papam, all sins means what? All the punya papams, all the results of actions, in terms of punyam and papam, which bind you, from all those punya papams, from all results of actions in terms of punya papams, which bind you from all of them, Arjuna, aham tva mokshayishyami, I shall liberate you. Mashuchaha, you don't worry. Liberating you from all punya papams is my responsibility. Okay, you don't worry. But on one condition, if I have to bless you with the moksha, freedom from bondage of karma, Sarva papebhyaha moksha ishyami means what? Arjuna, I shall free you. I shall liberate you from bondage of karma. Don't worry. What is the condition? What is the condition? Mam ekam sharanam vraja. May you surrender yourself to me totally. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. May you surrender yourself to me. May you take refuge in me. How? Sarva dharman parityajya. Sarva dharman parityajya. Parityajya. Parityagaha. Tyajati. Tyaktva. Parityajati. Totally renounces. Parityajya. Having totally renounced sarva dharman. All actions. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Ekam means what? May you aspire only for me, the only secondless non-dual reality. May aspire only for the vision of non-dual reality. See, aspiring for the clear, doubt-free vision of the only secondless non-dual reality is seeking Bhagavan, aspiring for Bhagavan. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. So may you hold on to me, the non-dual truth, sharanam, as your only refuge, as your only abode, as your only shelter, as the only source of security. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. No, I want to have hold on to Bhagavan as a source of security. I want to hold on to Bhagavan as the source of shelter. I want to hold on to Bhagavan as the only abode, but still I want to hold to something else also. No. It means you cannot be 100% totally focused. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. May you aspire for. May you seek me, the only secondless non-dual truth, as your, as the shelter, as an abode. Then, if the total commitment to the pursuit of, what is saranam? Seeking Bhagavan as the only abode, only shelter means what? Being totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the nature of Bhagavan, so the total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth is seeking Bhagavan, the only truth, as one's shelter, one's abode, one's refuge. Surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means what? Surrendering oneself to the Shastram. Commit with a total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam. I repeat the sentence again. Totally, having total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth is seeking Bhagavan, the only truth, as one's refuge, as one's shelter, as one's abode. There's no other way of seeking Bhagavan as the only shelter, only abode, only refuge. No, for me, Bhagavan is the only source, only soul. Refuge means what? Bhagavan is the only source of protection, only source of refuge. Bhagavan is the only refuge. Bhagavan is the only shelter. Means what? If there's total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, then that is what is seeking Bhagavan, the only truth, as the shelter, as one's abode and one's refuge. And that the total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam is there. And if a person lives one's life accordingly with the commitment, It's not enough if a person is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam. If jnanam becomes the ultimate goal, because which itself is moksha, then a person's lifestyle also should change. The way of life a person chooses to live is definitely the lifestyle ordained by the Shastra. If a person is not ready for the jnanam, then naturally one has to choicelessly choose to live a life of karma yoga. If a person is adequately prepared, of course, no choice. One has to commit oneself. One has to take to the life of, one who has to go to the discipline of jnana yoga. We can't escape. No, I don't want to jnana yoga. Bhakti is enough for me. People may say all these things. What is bhakti? If you have bhakti, if you have love for knowledge of the truth, then having love for knowledge of the truth, aspiring for the knowledge of the truth is aspiring for Bhagavan, having love for Bhagavan. If you have, you're aspiring for Bhagavan as having love for Bhagavan means, naturally, you know the value of jnanam. You have to be committed to the pursuit of jnanam. You're committed to the pursuit of jnanam means what? What choice do you have? That is bhakti. Okay, that is bhakti. And going through the discipline of jnana yoga is what? Bhakti. Going through life of karma yoga is bhakti. Going through life of jnana yoga, discipline of jnana yoga is bhakti. Attainment of jnanam is bhakti. So all this would culminate in jnana, attainment of jnanam, which is the exalted form of bhakti. So people should be very clear. One has to go through the discipline of jnana yoga. Going to the discipline of jnana yoga is what? Seeking Bhagavan, the only secondless non-dual truth as one's refuge, as one's shelter, as one's abode. And one's commitment is there. If a person is, in order to attain jnanam, then naturally one should go through the discipline of jnana yoga. A person goes through the discipline of jnana yoga as ordained by the Shastram. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Of course, a person will have all Bhagavan's grace to be able to go through the discipline of jnana yoga successfully, that at every level he will be successful. He can go through Shravanam, he can grasp the teaching. He can go through mananam, he can have his doubts resolved. He can go through nididhyasanam without any obstacles. He can focus, he can dwell upon the teaching. He can be contemplative upon the teaching. Thereby he can ascertain, assimilate the teaching. He can attain clear doubt-free vision, which itself is moksha. So he'll have all Bhagavan's grace that he can successfully go through the discipline, the jnana yoga, that he can go through all three steps, stages, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Thereby he can attain jnanam, he can enjoy the benefit of jnanam. Therefore Bhagavan says, I shall liberate you from all results, from all results of actions in terms of punya, all punya papams, are we said to be sins. Ma shuchaha Arjuna, may you not grieve. Don't grieve. Okay. This is the meaning of this verse. So Bhagavan M says, it's a total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam to the exclusion of everything else is what is meant by saying sarva dharman parityajya. See, the person must have gone through the discipline of karma yoga, must have lived a life of grastha, or must have gone through, life, and he must have understood the limitations of karma. He must have understood the limitations of results of actions. And he knows no karma phalam is permanent. So no karma phalam can ever liberate me from bondage. Because karma is time bound. Access is required for karma or time bound. Result of action is time bound. So time bound action, time bound results cannot give me timeless, everlasting freedom. So the person will know the limitations of karma, limitations of the results of actions, karma, limitations of the accessories required for performing karma. So how? By going through one's life of karma yoga, living a clean life of dharma, the person will learn from his own life's experiences that the karma is time bound. Karma phalam is time bound. But what I'm aspiring for is everlasting, permanent happiness. Therefore, permanent happiness cannot have a beginning, cannot have an end. It must be already there. If it's already there, it must be discovered. Therefore, jnanam sharanam gacchami. I take refuge in jnanam. I commit myself to the pursuit of jnanam. It is the discovery. I need to discover what freedom is, what happiness is. For which Shastram says that discovering the truth is the only means of discovering freedom. And for which Shastram is the only pramanam. So a person totally commits himself to the pursuit of jnanam. Thereby a person goes through the discipline of jnana yoga, goes through all steps, shravanam, manami, dhyasanam. Thereby a person attains jnanam. Person can attain jnana. He can then once he attains knowledge of the truth, in the light of knowledge of the truth, he can see freedom is nothing but limitlessness. Being limitless is being free. Being full is being free. And fullness, limitlessness is being happy, happiness. And happiness is what? Freedom from bondage. One's own sarupam. A person can claim moksha as one's own sarupam. And for which a person is abundance of grace. A person can have Bhagavan's grace if a person totally commits himself to the pursuit of knowledge, which is always said to be pursuit of Bhagavan. That's what is totally surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says, Sarva Papebhyaha Aham Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. Next verse. So, giving up the physical activities is not possible totally. One has to perform karma until one's last breath. So, sarva dharman parityajya does not mean physically giving up one's activities. But, performing actions with the proper attitude, in conformity with dharma, in due course of time, being given to the pursuit of jnana yoga, when a person attains jnanam, in the wake of jnanam, when a person sees, resolves one's doership, jnanam, when a person resolves his the wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, in resolving his doership and enjoyership, in the wake of clear vision of one's own swarupam, then a person sees how, in the wake of clear vision, one sees Bhagavan being one's own swarupam. The only truth of the whole jagat is Bhagavan is obtaining as one's own essential nature, as the truth of I. one sees oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, one is Bhagavan being non-separate from oneself, thereby a person sees, where is the doer? I am the doer, that notion resolves. So having the wrong notion resolved is what? Sarva dharma parityagaha. Sarva dharma parityagaha means sarva karma parityagaha. Sarva karma parityagaha means what? Renunciation of all duties, all actions. Does it mean that? No. It is not physically giving up activities, but having the ahankara resolved totally. Having the I sense resolved totally is what? Having ahankara resolved is sarva dharma parityagaha. Until I understand who Bhagavan is, I see it is the grace of Bhagavan because of which everything functions. And ahankara becomes thinner. When you discover that Bhagavan acting as your own swarupam, completely you understand your swarupam being actionlessness, then you see that you're free from doership and enjoyership, then that is when it's a total resolution of the notion that I am the doer, which is total resolution of ahankara, a clear vision, then totally you take refuge. Surrender to me means what? Then you see yourself being non-separate from me. Seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan is what? Offering oneself to Bhagavan, surrendering oneself to Bhagavan absolutely, totally. Absolute surrender is freedom. So Bhagavan says, I shall liberate you from all punya papams. Okay, we'll go to the next verse.
Idantena tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha susrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyasuhyati. Idantena tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha susrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyasuhyati. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha susrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyasuhyati. Idantena tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha susrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyasuhyati.
What does Bhagavan say in this verse? Idam means what? This. This means what? This can indicate anything. What does this third person singular pronoun idam indicate? Idam indicates this teaching. Idam means this. This means this teaching. Arjuna, this teaching which I have been giving you, this teaching, which teaching? The teaching which is specifically, especially given to you. This teaching that's given to you, kadachana abhaktaya na. Abhaktaya na. Abhaktaya na. Kadachana ever. Na kadachana never. Vachyam. Vachyam means what? Should be imparted, should be uttered, should be revealed. But na vachyam, kadachana na vachyam or nakadachana vachyam. Arjuna, this teaching given to you should never be revealed. This teaching given to you should not be given, should not be imparted, should not be revealed, should not be taught to whom? Atapaskaya. Na atapaskaya. Tapaskaha means the person who is given to the practice of disciplines. The person who is given the practice of disciplines is a person of austerity, a person of penance. Atapaskaha is the one who is not given to penance, practice of penance. Atapaskaha. Arjuna, the teaching given to you should never be taught, never be revealed to a person who is not tapaskaha, who is not given to the practice, the discipline of discipline, practice of disciplines in terms of austerity. An indisciplined person who is not given to the practice of disciplines, who is not given to the austerity, should never be taught. Atapaskaya idam idam te atapaskaya na vachyam na kadachana na vachyam, never should be taught. Then abhaktaya na vachyam. Arjuna, this teaching given to you should not be imparted to a person who is not jignyasu bhaktaha. Who is abhaktaha? The person who is not a jignyasu bhaktaha, who is not a devotee. Who is not devotee? The one who is not committed to the pursuit of jnanam is a non-devotee. A person who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam is a devotee. Abhaktaya, this teaching should not be given to a person who is not devoted to Bhagavan. Who are committed to Bhagavan. Who does not have devotion. This teaching should not be given to the person who does not have any love for Bhagavan. Devotion for Bhagavan. A non-devotee should not be taught. Nacha asushrushave. Nacha asushrushave. Please make a note. Shrotum icha susrusha. Susrusha. Shrotum icha susrusha. Desire to listen. Susrushate means what? Desires to listen. Desirous of listening. Susrusha means desirous. Desire to listen is susrusha. Susrushuhu. Adjective, the one who is desirous of listening, one who is craving for knowledge, one who knows the value of jnanam, therefore one who knows the importance of listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, one who is craving desperately, craving for listening to the teaching is susrushuhu. Asushrushuhu means the one who is not at all desirous of listening. No, not at all interested in listening. One who is not at all desirous of listening to the teaching. Hachappad says asushrushuhu. So Bhagavan says asushrushave na vachyam. Imagine if this teaching is imparted to a person who is not at all desirous of listening. Then what will happen? He can't listen. He won't listen. The teaching will go above the head. It won't enter into the ears. Therefore, Bhagavan says, asushrushave na vachyam. this teaching should not be imparted to a person who is not at all desirous of listening. Ashushrushave na vachyam. Atapaskayana vach. Arjuna, idam te. This knowledge imparted to you, this teaching given to you, should never be taught to a person who is not practicing any austerity, who is not a devotee, and a person who is not at all desirous of listening. Nacha yaha abhyasu. Yaha abhyasuyati. Yaha abhyasuyati. And also, see, asuyati means one who feels jealous, feels envious. Asuyati. Abhyasuyati means the person who finds fault, who criticizes. So this teaching should not be given to the person who criticizes Bhagavan, me. Yaha mam abhyasuyati. Yaha mam abhyasuyati. The person who criticizes me, who finds fault with me, that person should not be taught. The person who is not interested in listening should not be taught. The person who does not have any devotion to Bhagavan should not be taught. The person who is not given to the practice of any penance should not be taught. Why? Such a person does not deserve this teaching. He will not understand the teaching. So he will not be able to assimilate the teaching. So he will not be going to have any benefit out of teaching. Therefore, this teaching has to be very precious. So maintain the sanctity of the teaching, the preciousness of the teaching. This teaching must be carefully preserved and imparted to only those who deserve the teaching. Bhagavan says, Arjuna, this teaching, this knowledge imparted to you should never be given to the one who does not practice austerity, does not have any devotion, who is not a devotee, and who is not at all desirous of listening. And also, it should not be given to the person who always blames, condemns, and criticizes me, the Lord. See, the person who does not listen to the teaching can never understand what Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is. And without understanding who Bhagavan is, simply when problems come in life, what do? This Bhagavan has no eyes, Bhagavan has no mercy, Bhagavan is merciless, he's testing me, he gives me all sorts of problems in life. So people criticize. Not knowing who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is in the Hymn of Law and Order, people simply criticize Bhagavan because they go through problems in life. And they're not, because why? They can't understand Bhagavan being the very Law and Order. Because they don't understand, because they don't study Shastra, because they're not listening, desirous of listening. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, this knowledge imparted to you, this teaching given to you should never be imparted to people who do not deserve the teaching. And who do not deserve the teaching? Those who are without austerity, those who are without any devotion, and those who are not at all interested in listening to the teaching. And also thereby people who ignorantly criticize Bhagavan. Such people should not be given this teaching. This is the literal meaning of the verse. So, by saying whom the teaching should not be given, to whom the teaching should not be given, by way of saying whom the teaching should not be given, Bhagavan actually indirectly presents the four qualifications required on the part of a student who wants to desperately listen to the teaching and understand the teaching. Whoever wants to listen to the teacher, understand the teaching, whoever wants to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, they must be qualified to be imparted. And what are the qualifications? So Bhagavan was saying, whom this teaching should not be given, he indirectly presents the four qualifications required for the study of the Shastram. For studying the Shastram. If a person is not qualified to study the Shastram, then even the teaching is important to him. Then it will not be of any use. So, Shastra study will be useful, highly helpful, only if a person is qualified to study. If an unqualified person studies the Shastram and the benefit will enjoyable for him will be much less benefit. So the less the person is qualified, less benefit he can have being imparted, being exposed to the teaching. The person is totally unqualified, then naturally he will not enjoy any benefit. Even if he taught the Shastram, the teaching will not be of any help for him because he is completely unqualified. So first, we saw in regular, generally, we always understand, one must have the fourfold, the wealth of four qualifications. Chatvari sadhanani, four qualifications themselves form the wealth. And here, Bhagavan says, one must be a person of tapas. The first one of the qualifications required for the eligibility, one of the qualifications required for listening to the teaching. One of the qualifications required for the teaching, for enjoying the teaching, first one must be a person of tapas. Tapas means one must strictly practice certain disciplines. And the tapas, simply I can say discipline. So the disciplines, there are disciplines, religious discipline, I would say spiritual discipline. So being a person of being a disciplined person, being a person of penance or austerity, tapas, in terms of being given to the practice of certain religious disciplines is the qualification, number one. Then secondly, the person must have intense, fervent devotion. So having the devotion, bhakti is the next qualification. What is bhakti? Devotion to Bhagavan, love for Bhagavan. Devotion, love for Bhagavan is devotion, bhakti. Love means what here? Reverential respectful love for Bhagavan is devotion to Bhagavan, which is bhakti. This is important. So love for the Bhagavan, love for the teaching, love for respect for the teacher. This is the bhakti. So devotion to Bhagavan and devotion to the teaching, devotion to the guru is what? Second qualification. It's a qualification required for enjoying the benefit of the teaching. And thirdly, shushrusha. Shushrusha means even desire to serve. Guru shushrusha. That is shushrusha. Okay, that is different. This is shushrusha. So, the burning urge for, so desire for listening. Desire for listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram. Desire for listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram by teacher is Shushrusha. So one must have the craving for listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the Shastra. One must be desirous of listening. So desire for listening is Shushrusha, which is as a third qualification. If a person does not have any desire for listening, and how can that person be taught? He cannot be taught. Unless a person is inclined for listening, is craving for listening, then such a person can be communicated, can be taught, and he can listen and understand. Therefore, having a strong desire for listening to Shastram is Shushruha's third qualification. The person must be a non-critical person. Being non-critical, being a non-critical minded. So being non-critical is the next qualification. Being non-critical of what? Non-critical of Shastra teaching. Non-critical of the contents of the subject matter of the Shastram. Be non-critical of Bhagavan. So being critical of the Shastra, subject matter of the Shastram, being critical of because even if a person has to be always critical of the Shastram, how can he listen respectfully, reverence, with reverence? How can he understand, how can he enjoy the benefit of the teaching? Therefore, the important, another qualification is what? One must be anasuyaha. One must become a person of non-criticism. One must have a non-critical mind. That one must already have faith in the Shastra teaching. One must approach the teaching with reverence, respect. And one must listen to teaching systematically and wait for the time for the Shastra teaching to become effective. So with politeness, one must have tremendous reverence for the Shastra. And one should not be critical. So being critical of the teaching of the teacher is being critical of Bhagavan, and which should not be there. So being non-critical of the Shastra teaching and Bhagavan is what? The next qualification. If a person has all these four qualifications, then such a person alone should be imparted. The teaching should be imparted to such a person. Okay. Next verse. Yayimam paramam guhyam. Yayimam paramam guhyam.
యమం పరమం గుహ్యం మద్భక్తేష్వభిధాస్యతి యమిమం పరమం గుహ్యం మద్భక్తేష్వభిధాస్యతి భక్తిం మయి పరాం కృత్వా మామే వైశ్యస్య సంశయ.
Not second person, third person is the yaha. Mame vaishyat.
Mame vaishyatya samshayah. Mame vaishyatya samshayah. Yaimam paramam guhyam mat bhakteshvabhidhasyati. Yaimam paramam guhyam మద్భక్తేష్వభిధాస్యతి భక్తిం మయి పరాం కృత్వా మామే వైష్యత్య సంశయః యయిమం పరమం గుహ్యం మద్భక్తేష్వభిధాస్యతి భక్తిం మయి పరాం కృత్వా మామే వైష్యత్య సంశయః
మామేవ యేష్యతి మామే వైష్యతి యేష్యతి అసంశయః మామే వేష్యతి అసంశయః మాం ఏవ ఏష్యతి ఏష్యతి విల్ అటైన్ విల్ రీచ్ ఏష్యతి మీన్స్ విల్ రీచ్ విల్ అటైన్ హూ విల్ రీచ్ విల్ సీ హూమ్ విల్ హీ రీచ్ అ పర్సన్ విల్ రీచ్ Mam yeva yeshyati. The person definitely will reach me alone. So reaching only Bhagavan means seeing the fact of one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan. Seeing Bhagavan as one's own self is what? Reaching Bhagavan. Reaching Bhagavan does not mean physically reaching Bhagavan, as if Bhagavan is sitting somewhere and we have to go and run towards him to reach him. No. Here reaching Bhagavan, attaining Bhagavan, not physical attainment. It is cognitive attainment of Bhagavan. Cognitively attaining Bhagavan means what? Discovering the truth of the entire universe, obtaining as one's own self, thereby seeing Bhagavan in him of truth as one's own self. Seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan is reaching Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says, Mameva Yeshati definitely will reach me. Alone. Asamshayaha. Asamshayaha means there is no doubt. Asamshayaha, there is no doubt at all. The person definitely will reach me alone. I mean, will discover one's own Bhagavan as one's own Surupa. Who will reach me? Yaha imam paramam guhyam. Imam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati. Mai param bhaktim kritva. Mai param bhaktim kritva. With the tremendous, with exalted devotion towards me, with a great devotion towards me. Mayi param bhaktim krutva. Mayi param bhaktim krutva. Having great devotion towards me. Yaha imam paramam guhyam abhidasyati. Yaha abhidasyati. The person who abhidasyati means will impart. Abhidasyati will impart. Yaha abhidasyati. The person who will impart what? Imam paramam guhyam. This exalted secret. Paramam exalted. Guhyam secret. Imam this. Yaha whoever. The person who. Imam paramam guhyam abhidasyati. The person who will impart this exalted great secret. In terms of teaching. Madbhakteshu to my devotees. So the, with a great devotion towards Bhagavan, the person who imparts this exalted wisdom to my own devotees, that person, mame vayeshyati, he will reach me alone. Asamshayaha, there is no doubt at all. So, even a person understands the teaching, then when he, and then the, when the more a person studies the Shastra, the more he understands the teaching, the more he understands Bhagavan, and greater will be the person's devotion towards Bhagavan. So what Bhagavan says, and with a great devotion, with a great reverence, the great devotion towards me, having great devotion towards me, the person who imparts this exalted teaching to my devotees, naturally he will have his merit only in Shastram. Such a person in due course of time will reach me alone. There is no doubt. So it's not simply studying, listening. Even a person teaches the Shastram to other people by way of teaching the Shastram also, by sharing one's understanding of the teaching, clear understanding of the teaching with other people, one continues to place one's mind in the teaching. Therefore, the person, the teacher of the Shastram also, the teacher of the Shastram, who teaches the Shastra, subject matter of the Shastra, with great devotion towards Bhagavan, then such teacher of Shastram will reach Bhagavan only. There's no doubt. This is the literal meaning of the verse. So here, in this verse, Bhagavan praises Jnana Yogis. So Jnana Yogis means, who are the Jnana Yogis? People who are given to this discipline of Shravanam, who are given to the discipline of Mananam, who are given to the discipline of Nididhyasam, are all Jnana Yogis. So Bhagavan here really praises people who are given to the discipline of, who are given to the pursuit of Jnanam. And they are of three types. Who are they? All of them, all these people of, the three types of people are very close to Bhagavan, dear to Bhagavan. See, there's none who is not dear to Bhagavan. In fact, knowingly or unknowingly, everyone is dear to Bhagavan, dear to the Lord. And people who are people who can enjoy the grace of Bhagavan are the feet of the devotees. So whoever wants to share one's understanding of the subject matter of the Shastram, whoever wants to share one's knowledge of the Shastram with other people, whoever wants to impart the content of subject matter of teaching Shastram to the other people, so they are very beloved of Bhagavan, the dear to Bhagavan. So that whoever plays the role of Shastra, who studies the Shastram, understood the teaching, and whoever teaches others what one has understood, that teacher of Shastram is very dear to me. And whoever listens to the teaching with the Shraddha, whoever is given the discipline of listening to the subject matter of the Shastram with Shraddha is dear to me. The third type of people are people who simply, who had the fortune of listening to the teaching. Simply being given to the discipline of listening itself is what? It's a great fortune. Such a person who is interested in listening to the teaching is dear to Bhagavan. So, paramam guhyam, and this teaching, not ordinary teaching, exalted secret, great secret. Why it's a great secret? The happiness that I'm searching for is there already as the very intrinsic, inseparable nature of the reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman. And that reality of the whole universe implied by the term Atma or Brahman, which is of the nature of happiness, is in fact, is there always as the very truth of I. And is this, we do not know this. Therefore, it is what? The teaching itself is what? Exalted secret. Paramam guhyam. This teaching, which is an exalted secret, that teaching, whoever will teach, who impart this teaching with Shraddha, with a great devotion to Bhagavan, such a person, no doubt he will reach me alone. Means what? He will discover myself being non-separate from one's own self. Means he will see Bhagavan is one's own Swarupa. Mainly Bhagavan says, Mayi param bhaktim kritva. The great devotion towards me, whoever imparts subject matter of the Shastram will reach me alone. You have all the grace to discover Swarupam, Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as one's own self. Next verse.
Nacha tasman manushyeshu kaschinme priyakrittamah. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kaschinme priyakrittamah. Nacha tasman manushyeshu కశ్చిన్ మే ప్రియ కృత్తమ కశ్చిన్ మే ప్రియ కృత్తమ నచ తస్మాన్ మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిన్ మే ప్రియ కృత్తమ భవితా నచ మే తస్మాదన్యః ప్రియతరో భువి భవితా నచ మే తస్మాదన్యః ప్రియతరో భువి నచ తస్మాన్ మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిన్ మే ప్రియ కృత్తమః భవితా నచ మే తస్మాదన్యః ప్రియతరో భువి నచ తస్మాన్ మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిన్ మే ప్రియ కృత్తమః భవితా నచ మే తస్మాదన్యః ప్రియతరో భువి నచ తస్మాత్ మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిత్ మే ప్రియకృత్తమః భవిత నచ మే తస్మాత్ అన్యః ప్రియతరః భువి. సో వాట్ డస్ భగవాన్ సే ఇన్ దిస్ వర్స్? చ, ద చ కమ్స్ లేటర్ నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్, నెక్స్ట్ సెకండ్ ఇస్ అ సెకండ్ వర్డ్, బట్ హియర్ చ. యాజ్ భగవాన్ కంటిన్యూస్ హిస్ టాక్, Already he has said, Manushyeshu, Manushyeshu, Nakaschit me priyakrit, priyakrittamaha. See, priyaha means dear. Priyakrit means, see, ప్రియకృత్ మీన్స్ డియర్ సర్వెంట్. ప్రియకృత్ తరహ మీన్స్ వాట్? డియరర్ సర్వెంట్ ఆఫ్ మైన్, ప్రియకృత్ డియరర్ సర్వెంట్. అండ్ ప్రియకృత్తమహ మీన్స్ డియరెస్ట్ సర్వెంట్. ప్రియకృత్ డియర్ సర్వెంట్, ప్రియకృత్ తరహ డియరర్ సర్వెంట్, ప్రియకృత్తమహ డియరెస్ట్ సర్వెంట్. సో మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిత్, మనుష్యేషు కశ్చిత్ మే న మే ప్రియకృత్తమః తస్మాత్. మనుష్యేషు అమంగ్ ది పీపుల్ న కశ్చిత్ మే ప్రియకృత్తమః, దర్ ఇస్ నన్ హూ ఈజ్ ది డియరెస్ట్ servant. There's none who is the dearest servant. There's none who is the dearest servant. What does it mean? There's not even one person who is the dearest servant to me. Among the people, there is not even one person who is the dearest servant to me. Manushyeshu nakaschit priyakrittamaha. Me, to me. Tasmat means than that person. And nacha bhavita. There will not be anyaha. Anyaha nacha bhavita. There will not be another person bhuvi on this earth. There will not be another person on earth priyataraha. There will not be another person on earth priyataraha, who is dearer servant to me. Tasmat means than that person.
So Bhagavan says, the one who imparts the knowledge which he has received from other teachers, the one who imparts knowledge to others, the person who imparts one's knowledge to others is the dearest person. There's none who is as dearer as the one who teaches the Shastra. There's none who is dearer, as dear as who teaches, imparts knowledge to others. Anyaha bhavina bhavita. And there will not be another person on this earth who is the dearest servant other than the person who imparts the teaching, who shares his teaching, knowledge with other people through teaching. So what Bhagavan says, in the previous verse, he said, the person who teaches the He imparts this teaching, he imparts this knowledge, will definitely attain Bhagavan. That's what Bhagavan said in the previous verse. Now he's saying, there is not even one person among the people. Manushyeshu nakaschit priyakrittamam pravatamaha. There's not even one person among the people who becomes the dearest servant of Bhagavan. So among the people, there's none who is dearer to Bhagavan than the one who is teaching. So there will not be another person on earth. There's none on the earth, in this world, who can be a dearer servant. There's none who is dearer servant than the person who imparts this teaching. So Bhagavan really glorifies the person who involves himself in the teaching of the Shastra. So Bhagavan highly praises, glorifies the person who teaches the Shastra. Priyakrittamaha means the dearest servant. Priyakrittamaha. Who is the dearest person? The one who teaches the Shastra. I think I'll stop here now. Priyakrit, dear servant. Priyakrittaraha, dearest servant. Priyakrittamaha, dearest servant. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. 16th verse again, we'll see next class. Okay, hopefully I'll try to finish it soon with any break.